This is the WOKV Spotlight on 104.5 WOKV.
15 after the hour. Thanks so much for riding along with Jacksonville's Morning News on this Wednesday, October 29th. Rich Jones, Christine Bellino live on location at Baptist MD Anderson Cancer Center. And as the month of October winds down, the attention doesn't go away after this month for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Yes, I know this is the pink month. This is the month where so much attention is focused on breast cancer. But thankfully, we have great people in our community who ensure that this is a year-round mission and overall effort to try to find effective ways to screen for breast cancer, to illuminate all of the different ways and tools and treatment and care and support that women have in our community. And we're pleased to be joined by Dr. Layla Samian, Chief of Breast Surgical Oncology here at MD Anderson Cancer Center. And while this month is all about illuminating things, do you hope that it really ends up being a year-round effort so that we can try to show women how much support they have out there and the care that's available here at Baptist MD Anderson?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we just want to make sure women remember to do their mammograms, because as women, we get busy taking care of everyone else. And you just want to remember to don't forget to take care of yourself and put your health first and do your screenings. Because when you do your screening mammogram, if a cancer has happened to be found, it will be found at an earlier stage, which is curable most of the time. So it's more likely to be curable if it's caught early. And it's definitely going to be caught much earlier if it's seen on a mammogram than if you wait till you feel the lump.
Dr. Samian, what are some of the advancements that have been made in the detection screening? Because I think a lot of women look at the, I don't think they forget about it. I think they just don't want their breast shoved in like a pancake anymore. But that technology has changed a lot over the years, right?
So the mammograms, you know, they're like x-rays of your breast. But now we have 3D tomosynthesis. So most places will do, it's like a 11 cuts. Even though it looks like you're doing one, two pictures, those pictures are actually being done 11 cuts through the breast. So it's like a movie that looks through and through your breast. So it's a lot more accurate than it used to be. There's automated whole breast ultrasound that can, you know, add to your screening as a supplement to your mammogram. It doesn't replace the mammogram, because the mammogram will pick up things that the ultrasound can't pick up. The ultrasound sometimes can pick up things the mammogram can't pick up. So they're kind of used in conjunction for women who have very dense breasts or at high risk. They can add that. Breast MRI is used for women who have high risk for developing breast cancer, such as if they have a family history, abnormal biopsies in the past, or genetic mutations. They can do breast MRIs, which is really ultimate screening. But again, it won't pick up calcifications that a mammogram can pick up. So those, all those tests are used in conjunction with each other for us to be able to detect abnormality sooner.
And you mentioned dense breasts. What does that mean for people who don't know?
So about half of the women have more gland than fat in their breast. And so x-rays can see easily through the fat. They can't see as well through dense, fibrous breast tissue. So younger women have more gland. As you get older, the gland will shrink up when you go through menopause, and it'll get replaced with more fatty tissue. So mammograms are easier to screen, to see through fatty tissue. So older women, their mammograms are a little more accurate than women with young, dense breasts.
And men are not off the hook, right? Men can get breast cancer as well.
The risk for men getting breast cancer is much, much lower. You know, it's like 1 or 2% versus 13% for women.
When you first meet a woman here who has had the diagnosis, how does that process begin? How does your conversation begin with them as well?
When they are diagnosed with breast cancer? I mean, basically, we first, you know, they are very fearful. So we first try to educate them, you know, reassure them, kind of see where their priorities are, what are their, some of their challenges in their life, et cetera, and also kind of educate them on breast cancer treatment in general. But breast cancer treatment these days is very individualized based on the tumor biology. So one person's cancer is not the same as another person's breast cancer. And so these days we're looking at DNA level, multiple various factors to determine how to treat your particular breast cancer. So not everyone is treated exactly the same.
And when should women start getting screened for breast cancer, and how often should they get screened for breast cancer?
So American College of Radiology, American Society of Breast Surgeons, they all recommend to start at 40 and screen every year. We recommend that women who have family history get risk assessment done, you know, between 25 to 30 years old, so they can determine if they're high risk. Because high risk women may need to have genetic testing, may need to start earlier, may need to have supplemental screening. But generally, you know, 40 for the average person.
The mission here at Baptist MD Anderson Cancer Center is making cancer history. While it might not happen in our lifetimes per se, what's giving you encouragement and hope that at the very least the best possible care is available without having to travel, that it can happen right here in Jacksonville?
I mean, the treatment has gotten so much better, and it improves weekly, I would say. You know, we have, there's so much to keep up with because the research is fast-paced. So the medications and the drugs are just getting better and better. So some patients who were diagnosed with stage four, you know, 10 years later, they seem to be cancer-free, and so we are wondering, did we cure this stage four breast cancer? So we're getting there. But again, not all cancers are created equal. Yeah. But obviously, if they're caught earlier, it's going to be much easier to cure this.
That post-cancer treatment, I think of my mom in that case, nearing 10 years, give or take. I think we're at about 7 or 8 at this point. I mean, how long after treatment, on average, can a woman finally breathe and say, okay, I'm still going in for my annual scans, but I feel like this, that the worst is now behind me?
I mean, it depends on what stage they were and what type of cancer they had. You know, some low indolent, slow-growing cancers can come back decades later. Some aggressive cancers usually will come back, you know, within 5 years. So if they don't come back in 5 years, they probably won't come back. Could a woman grow a new breast cancer? It's rare. It's lower chance than people think. But one of the main things, I think, prevention. I know we don't put enough emphasis on preventing getting cancer in the first place. So there's a lot of risk factors that we have control over. A lot of it has to do with our lifestyle. So maintaining a normal, healthy weight, eating whole foods, avoiding ultra-processed foods, avoiding exposure to chemicals, plastics, avoiding hormone replacement therapy if you're at high risk. You know, estrogen, progesterone together can increase a woman's risk of breast cancer. So definitely, if you are on hormones, you need to make sure your mammogram's negative before you get pellets injected or anything like that. So those are some of the factors we have control over that we don't pay enough attention to. Alcohol increases risk for breast cancer significantly. So, you know, those things are really important.
Is it still an old wives' tale, or is it true that breastfeeding reduces your risk of getting breast cancer?
It does reduce your risk, but only by a small percentage. I think the biggest benefit is for the baby. But yes, it helps. Every little thing helps.
As awareness is raised on the potential factors or things that can help to influence breast cancer diagnosis, are we seeing the tide start to turn as we're understanding more the things that we can be doing behaviorally that can maybe help?
I think it is. There's a lot more awareness, for example, on obesity and weight loss and maintaining a normal weight, especially with the weight loss drugs coming out. More people are more aware of exercising and eating healthier and avoiding being sedentary. So that's helpful. But unfortunately, rate of breast cancer is going up, not down. And some of it has to do with, ultra-processed foods that you've been eating since you were little. You know, a lot of chemicals in our food and water, plastics, et cetera. So pesticides, I don't know. There's so much out there that we don't really have control over all of that, but I think as a society, we need to push for a more healthier environment.
If we stop buying it, they'll stop making it.
Right. I mean, you go to the store, and it's wall-to-wall plastic. So yeah. We know that sheds into the food you're drinking from the plastic container and things like that. So how does that affect breast cancer? I don't think there's been enough research to know for sure.
Well, thanks for illuminating the subject and bringing attention to the level of care that's available here at Baptist MD Anderson Cancer Center as well. And make sure you get those regular mammograms, right?
Can't
emphasize that enough.
Yes, definitely take care of yourself, make time for yourself, and get your checkups.
Thank you, Dr. Layla Samian, the Chief of Breast Surgical Oncology here at Baptist MD Anderson Cancer Center.